This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Walker. My co-host, as usual, is Kim. And today, we are going to be talking about, should an auto repair shop use a local marketing company or marketers who specialize in auto repair shops? But first, let me thank our sponsors, RepairPal, for providing this episode. RepairPal's certified network of shops are trusted by millions of customers each month. Learn more at RepairPal.com/shops. Hey, Kim.
Y'all, it's been a day today, let me tell you. And it's Friday. This man's making me work my brain a lot today.
Yeah, she's already recorded a full, probably 2.5, 3-hour class that's going to be put online. And we recorded our podcast episode
one
you would have listened to last week about the hierarchy of needs, which is the longest episode we've ever recorded.
And then, y'all, it was 1 hour and 14 minutes. And then we started this podcast. He probably wasn't going to tell you this part. We started recording this one, and we got about probably 10 or 12 minutes in when...
It was about 4 minutes.
So look, when we were kids, I come from a family of five, okay? I'm currently 50. My oldest brother would be 62 right now. So 12 years, five kids. So we were close. And when we would play Monopoly, he has no idea where I'm going with
this. Oh, I know exactly where you're going with it.
When we would play Monopoly...
I just flipped the board is what happened.
My oldest brother would get mad and flip the board in the middle of the freaking game, and you had no choice but to stop. Well, he just flipped the board. We got 12 minutes in, and he was like, no, we're starting over. And I'm like...
It was about 4 minutes in. I looked at the timer.
Mm-hmm.
And...
It felt like 12
look,
minutes.
Y'all have to understand, I'm pretty severely ADD. Like, actually diagnosed, okay? I know it's a cool thing for people to say they're ADD.
And I am not.
And... when we go into these things, I have a plan. And it got so turned upside down because Kim was good at doing that.
Got it. I feel like I have a martini coming tonight.
Probably do.
Except we're going to Cracker Barrel.
Oh, for Mother's Day.
Y'all, my mama.
I'm not taking Kim to Cracker Barrel for Mother's Day. Please understand
hey,
that.
There may be a lot of people who are like, I love Cracker Barrel. I do actually love Cracker Barrel. Yeah. But this is what happens when you catch me at this point in the day. Like, you really need to get this ship back on course because you're going to end up flipping the table again.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also the one where Alyssa DeLuca
Yes.
It is DeLuca. She's going to email me that this was funny. So, Alyssa, expecting your email. Or, wait, what's her other friend's name? He always listens and emails us when we're doing crazy stuff. Anyways, get it back on track, Brian Walker. We're all talking right about generalist
marketing companies versus
specialty.
Yes. And let's go on and define
please
what I'm talking about.
Very
look,
important.
Y'all, she's salty. She's salty that I flipped the table. Anyway, when I'm talking about a generalist marketing company, I'm talking about the company that they're usually going to be like in your hometown, and they work with a bunch of businesses that are local to them. And they don't care what type of business that is. It can be a auto repair shop. It could be a roofing company. It could be a coffee shop. It could be a lawyer. And most of their clients are a whole bunch of different types of businesses. We used to actually be one of those companies. And I'll talk about that in a minute.
You're going to talk about that.
Whereas, well, you can actually. I'll let you talk about it. She's over here taking pictures because she's about to post on social media about
I'm
the domestics.
I'm texting our son and I said he's worked on my nerves today.
Now, all right, the specialist marketing company is going to be like what we are now at Shop Marketing Pros, where we work doing marketing for nothing but auto repair shops. And a lot of specialty companies will have two, maybe three specialties. Actually, my coach, like my agency coach, he recommends that you
three
have
four,
at
huh?
least three. Well, he recommends, or he equates it to a bar stool. You know, so if a bar stool has one or two legs, it's not going to stand up. It's got to have at least three legs for it to stand up.
And so, for example, I think he's saying, like, this bar stool, one of our legs would be automotive repair,
yeah,
and then it might be air conditioning, and then it might be plumbing, and then it might be whatever.
Yeah.
Because, case in point, like COVID, right?
Yeah.
When COVID happened, we just so happened to, by the grace of God, be in an industry that thrived.
Yeah, but I mean, think if our clients had been restaurants or gyms,
right,
we'd have been out of business.
Yeah.
we know people who were in those situations where they were rock and rolling one day
and totally not
out of business the next. Yeah.
But I think that people understand, hopefully. Were you finished with the explaining part?
Yeah.
I think people get it because in the industry, we have the specialty repair shops, the European, the diesel repair, you know, like Enright is
Honda and Acura,
you know, Asian only, or, you know, the performance and off-road. And then you have the generalist or the general repair where they're working on all the domestic stuff. And
just whatever comes in.
Even some of them are working on boats and lawnmowers. And I mean, I've seen kind of all of that. So that's really what we're talking about here is you have those two different types of shops, but you also have those two different types of choices in who you pick to do your marketing.
Yeah. So we were, before we were Shop Marketing Pros, we were Five Stones Media. We're still, if you're a client of ours, you know, our name is still legally, like our legal business name is Five Stones Media, and we're a DBA of Shop Marketing Pros. But, you know, we started out as that kitchen table company. I was, you know, building websites on the side when I was working at the last shop that I worked at. You were doing email marketing for people and
anybody,
you know,
for anybody.
That's what this grew out of. But like, I think the first website that I built and was paid for was for the person who now is my best friend. I didn't even know him at the time, really, but he was my best friend, Joe Meir. And he was running.
That was your first one?
Yeah, he was running for city council.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
And that was the first website I ever built and got paid for. From there, it was just like, well, hey, you know, who needs a website? Who needs email marketing? That's how BizDev was at that time, was who needs one? Because I can do it.
Yeah, well, okay. And we don't hide from this. We were also in a bankruptcy and had bills to pay. So it was like, if you want to pay us to build a website or you want to pay us to do your email marketing, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, I got bills to pay, groceries to buy. So the funny thing to me about this is that when we were a generalist agency, we would have, I remember JR creating an email template where he just had, because we were asked this question so often, and JR would reply with this template that he wrote because it was so common that he would be asked, well, what's the difference between you and the agency that specializes in my industry? So it's an old question. We love the book, They Ask You Answer. Brian found that book. I don't remember how that you came across that book. You read it. We've implemented that through our clients' marketing, our own marketing, but it wasn't until recently that you reread the book.
Yeah, and when I reread it, I realized that I was doing things wrong. And don't get me wrong, the content that I was creating is great, valuable content, and it works amazingly for us.
I don't think it was that you were doing it wrong. It was that you were missing some of the...
Well, and that's what I mean is, like, They Ask You Answer is very specific. They have what they call the Big Five. And I just did an episode on They Ask You Answer sometime within the last, you know, 5 or 10 episodes. So you can go back and listen to that. But they have what they call the Big Five. And I realized that very little of the content that I was creating was within the Big Five. And one of the Big Five is comparisons. And that's exactly what this is. And a tenet of They Ask You Answer is that you don't try to persuade people. They Ask You Answer content where I do try to persuade people. But in this case, we're here to give a completely unbiased look at what the difference would be between working with a generalist agency or working with a specialist agency. And I feel like we are very well equipped to do that because we've been both.
Right. Totally understand that. So just give one quick example of a comparison as it would relate to an automotive repair shop writing a blog of a comparison, two different brands of tires, for example.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you one. Doug DeLuca just wrote one himself, and he sent it to me and asked me to look at it and tell him what I thought about it from a They Ask You Answer standpoint. Okay. He did an amazing job with it. He wrote this blog about the difference between going to a quick lube or taking your car to a shop like his to have the oil change done.
Is that on his website already? Because I need to send that to my sister.
I don't think it would be there yet, but it's possible. It may be up there. It was really awesome to me because he and his wife, they went together. They took their car to the local Jiffy Lube.
Stop it.
They did. And they had a great experience. They had a great experience. And he wrote all about that. You know, when you're listening to this, and I don't want this to be an episode that's about They Ask You Answer, but it is important. I still think that it's one of the best ways to market your business, especially, you know, just a template for kind of how to do content marketing. You can't be afraid to lose a wrong fit client.
Whoa, say that again.
You can't be afraid to lose a wrong fit client. That's what he understands. That's what he gets, is that they had a great experience at Jiffy Lube, but his car did not get looked over. There was no DVI. There was no inspection. They didn't tell him about a single thing that needed to be done with his car. They changed the oil. They set the air pressure. They filled his washer fluid.
Okay. And so off he went. Let me press the pause button, because I don't want you to go too far down that rabbit hole, because you like squirrels.
I do.
And Doug, if you're listening, you don't know this yet, but we're going to have you on as a guest, because we have lots of stuff to talk to you about. So y'all are going to need to wait and come back and listen to the episode with Doug, where we're going to really dig it, because that's fascinating. So chill out, calm down.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's get your ADD back on track.
All right, anyway.
Because you started out by saying,
I know.
Uh-oh, and we uh-oh-ing.
I love talking about sponsors of the podcast who have already worked with and who I've used before. So today, I'm super excited to talk to you about RepairPal, which, if you didn't know, will introduce your shop to new customers through RepairPal.com, the largest site for auto repair, and through the recommendation of their partners like USAA, CarMax, and Consumer Reports. Our shop was in RepairPal's certified network, and it was great for getting new customers who were looking for more than just oil changes. The average RepairPal customer spends over $600 on their first visit. I loved it, especially because we all know that consumers still mistrust repair shops. But the millions of customers that visit RepairPal.com monthly, they trust RepairPal certified shops for their high quality and great service. And there's no fear about being overcharged, so we were able to just focus on the repair. I highly recommend you check them out. It's the way to grow your business. Go to RepairPal.com/shops, get 1 month of service free, and save $150 off certification. So we're reeling this back in. The point is we're doing a completely unbiased view,
comparison
okay. of working with a local marketing agency versus a specialist marketing agency.
All right. So topic number one, tip category. What do you call this?
We're just going to say topic number one. That's fine. And that would be the idea of being able to meet face to face and the overall relationship that you can have with the marketing company.
Yeah. So I know Brian really outlines this stuff very well, so he never knows where I'm coming at with some of this stuff. I'm just going to throw my little piece in on this part. I really think that the pandemic set this part up, because originally, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there were lots of shops who were like, from a specialist agency who's not in your community, were like, I really want to come sit down and talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
So when the pandemic hit and everybody went to Zoom, it really opened up that whole perspective of, well, wait, I guess I really can do this from afar.
It did. But people do like to meet face to face now. You know, we think about the conferences. Oh, my gosh. 2020, 2021, all the conferences were virtual and it sucked. And everybody was so ready to get back in person. And, you know, the truth is that you can build a stronger relationship face-to-face than you can through Zoom.
Yeah, just this week, a couple of days ago. So our promotional products company, there's a couple that I've used, but there's one local in my town, and they moved to a new office a couple of years ago, and I just went for the first time. I've been doing everything through email with her, and I just went and sat down with her, and it just opened my eyes to so many different things, because I could see the products, put my hands on them, touch, feel, really connect on a personal level. Then at the same time, I thought, I'm taking time to drive over there. I ended up meeting with her way longer than I would have if we had just done it over email or over the phone. So, you know, there's all those pieces to it. There's, again, we're not trying to sway you one way, but just paint the whole picture.
Well, yeah, it's about what you prefer, because there's a lot of people that would prefer to go sit down face to face. And there's a lot of them that are like, make this quick. You know, just the facts. Zoom is perfect, and I don't want anything to do with, you know, having to get in a vehicle and drive across town. But prior to 2020, and this has nothing to do with COVID and everything to do with the fact that we switched from being a generalist agency to a specialist agency, but prior to 2020, we met with everybody in person.
Everybody.
We did
long meetings.
We had, like, Zoom existed, but nobody wanted to use it back then. And they would come sit down in our office, in our conference room. And yes, long meetings, 2 to 3 hours.
Although our kickoff meetings are long.
They are, but that's a one-time thing.
It is. Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, but also aside from just those meetings in person, like you probably are a member of the chamber with the marketing agency that's local. If you join a B&I group, you're very likely working with a marketer that's in the B&I group and you're seeing them face-to-face once a week. You might feel like you have more of a level of accountability with them if you're looking them in the eyes. You know, at a networking meeting once a week.
Well, and on the flip side of that, for a specialty agency, if you're involved in your industry, then you have industry events. We just got back from STX. We went to Vision. We're going to ASTA this year. You're talking about
going
to Apex.
We see our clients. We go to dinner with them.
Yeah. And what's amazing to me is when you're in an industry, automotive repair, and your marketing agency is involved in the industry. Like, we have a lot of people who are following the podcast, who are following us on social media. They're in our Facebook group. And so we'll see them in person for the first time, but you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, how's your son doing? Oh, how's that crazy dog?
You see him on Zoom. We just had our company retreat last week.
Yep.
And we met two of our employees face-to-face for the very first time. But it didn't feel like it.
It did not. In fact, I had already hugged one of them and had been talking to him for like 10 minutes. And I was like, wait a minute, this is the first time we've met in person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, clients are like that and other people. So,
but there's one more point that I want to make about this before we move on to the next topic. And that is that because of the pandemic, I can't believe we're still talking about the pandemic. It's 2004, but
we still talk about Katrina.
That's true. Down here in Louisiana, we still talk about Hurricane Katrina. That was 2005. But anyway, because of the pandemic, even the local companies are using Zoom to meet with their clients that are two blocks away.
There's companies
where people are using Zoom to meet somebody that's in the same office building as them.
I just heard across that the hallway. I couldn't believe it.
You know, that's just the world that we live in now.
Yeah. So this is about the overall relationship. You know, you have to decide what's really important for you. What do you need? What do you want? Because you may think that you can only get that real relationship with your local general agency. And maybe you can because it's your personality type or whatever. But think about the whole, I always say, let's look at the whole picture, right? Because there are times if in this industry, specifically automotive repair, if you're a top tier shop, you're attending events in the industry. Probably at least two. You're probably going to a training event in the spring. You're probably going to a training event in the fall. But there are shops that I know they're going to three or four, depending on where you are in Houghton. Or like our friends in California, we have clients in California who are super, or North Carolina, super involved in those organizations, ASTA and ASCCA, where they're meeting all the time. So be sure to step back and look at all of the opportunities about what's that going to look like? How can you build those relationships?
Now, that would be the first of four categories, I guess we'll call it.
And topics.
Okay. First of four topics. And in the article, I did like say, okay, the benefit goes to this one. In that case, the benefit went to the local marketers because of what's possible. Now, we go out of our way to build the relationship with our client, but there are still possibilities with someone who is in your hometown that there are not, you know, with us. Because I, you know, when I say us, I'm not talking about shop marketing.
Well,
I'm talking about
specialist agencies. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. Let's go to dinner together, right? I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing them a couple of times a year, you could see them on a much regular basis.
Mm-hmm. So I gave that one.
I don't like it, but I get it.
I gave that one to them. Remember, we're not trying to persuade anyone.
But I'm bossy and controlling, so this is very hard for me. Topic number two, industry knowledge.
Yeah, so as generalists, every time we got a new client, we had to learn their industry.
This one gives me, like, I don't have anxiety. I'm not, fortunately, not one of those people, but this does that to me. Like, my heart starts racing.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, you think about the automotive industry and the acronyms that we have. And the automotive industry, I do believe that we have more acronyms than most, but every industry has their own acronyms and their own terminology. And we had to learn that crap for every one of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say that you have the generalist agency that is not owned by the former auto repair shop owner like we were. Well, somebody comes in talking about AROs and DVIs and ABS and CELs and, you know, everything else. And it's like, oh my gosh.
For that purpose alone, part of our onboarding, when we hire a new person, part of our onboarding is we onboard them to the automotive industry.
Yeah.
I've created a whole document that lays out everything you can imagine, and it's super helpful. But, you know, on the flip side of that, when you don't know the industry, I hope my friend in the local community doesn't listen to this and say her name. But we were doing work for a dear friend of mine who owns a coffee shop. Well, did you know that in the coffee shop world, they don't want you to say squirt. They want you to say pump. When you're talking about, you know, you're painting the picture of this.
You're adding hazelnut to the coffee.
Yeah.
You don't put a squirt in there. You put a pump in there.
You put a pump. And I'm like, what? I didn't know that was not preferred. So then you bring on an insurance agent. You know, it's just all the learning of all of the different
insurance.
Stuff.
And the worst ones were financial advisors because you can't say anything. Everything has to go through, what did they call it?
Compliance.
Compliance. You know, so like if you're in one of those industries, don't even think about using a generalist agency. Find the specialist who already knows your business so they know what they can say and what they can't.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're an auto repair shop, that doesn't matter. But yeah, and learning also how they get their new business. And I'll give you the example of like auto body shops. You know, auto body shops, we've worked with a couple of them.
And chiropractors, and same thing.
They're very difficult to drive new business for because people aren't going and searching for collision repair. The insurance companies are recommending body shops to them.
So,
and that's where the majority of their work comes from is being referred by the insurance company.
That's that building relationships
part. But if you don't know that as a generalist agency, you will go spend a bunch of money trying to drive leads to a body shop.
Right.
And it's going to... Well, why are we not having success with this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole different thing, but it can be, you know, it's good that you're like, oh, well, this one wins this category or this topic or whatever. The industry knowledge, there's no way that you can possibly say that a generalist agency wins in that category. It's mind blowing. I mean, you think about digital ads, for example. We've talked about this so many different times is that. And I forget, there's somebody right now that we were talking about this to just recently in the general agency is doing digital ads for a specialty shop. And they're running ads for keywords like auto repair near me.
Right.
Because that's what they think. They're not paying attention to, no. The customer owning a $150,000 Mercedes-Benz, they're not searching for just some general. They want someone who specializes in their vehicle.
Yeah, so they're searching for Mercedes repair, Mercedes service.
This
Mercedes
is where the mechanic. Right, the industry knowledge comes in. But even industry knowledge insofar as understanding the different types of services for a Mercedes vehicle and all of the hoopla that was going on, maybe still with catalytic converters.
Oh, yeah.
People, general agencies, they're not thinking about that. We're super aware of it.
Right. But what I will say about being a generalist agency is that it made us better marketers.
True.
Because we had to figure out everything. I equate this in the article to a technician who works at a generalist shop versus a tech who works at a specialty shop. Or better yet, a tech who works at a dealer and works on one brand of cars. And that was me. You know, I was the Mercedes dealer tech, and even when we had our shop, I worked on Mercedes, and then my other techs would work on other brands. So I'm over there, I'm turning 80 hours a week, and it's because of pattern failures, and it's because of I'm doing the same jobs over and over and over and getting really fast and really good at it.
Yeah.
But to this day, I am still nowhere near the technician that of someone who works in a generalist shop, and you don't get the luxury of learning pattern failures. You have to go in and diagnose every darn car that comes in because you don't know what's wrong with it when you look at the repair order like I did. But which one do you want working on your car? If you have the car that's got a problem, do you want the one who knows that particular car and exactly how that system works and knows what normally fails on it? And I know that there's a downside to that, too, because they're liable to just throw a part on it because of pattern failures and be wrong with it. But still, when I was a tech, I would put myself up on a Mercedes against any generalist tech out there. I didn't care because I knew those cars. I knew them inside out. I knew what went wrong with them. I knew how the systems worked. And that's the same thing with a generalist or with a specialist agency. They know your industry. They know what it takes to get you new business. They know how to fix things when they're not working. And I say that, and we still get our butts kicked sometimes, but nowhere near as bad as the generalist shop, the generalist agency. So in this one, hands down, the specialist wins.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
All right. Category, topic number three.
Local knowledge.
And also a hands down.
Yeah. We already know who's going to win that one, but let's talk about it anyway.
Yep.
You know, we think about in our town, we have events like Hot August Night.
Okay, thank you.
You know, our Christmas parade. We knew
Southeastern
when
Lions,
construction was going on. Yeah, line up. So our local football team, they're...
Well, let me say this. Everybody thinks... You're talking about college, right?
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, oh, you must love LSU. And you do because you're born here. Like, you just do. But that's in Baton Rouge. And I went to college right here in my hometown of Hammond, America, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
In Hammond, we have SLU, the Southeastern Louisiana University. We're the Lions, not the Tigers. And by the way, we say that we're Lions and Tigers on Saturday and we're Saints on Sunday. So just a little fun fact. But yeah, that's probably where you're going. And at Southeastern, my alma mater, I'm a double alum there. And if you're watching on video, you see my hand. Some people say that looks like the loser symbol, but it's lion up.
Well, you do both. You do both hands.
Yeah. So it's lion up, and you wouldn't know that anywhere else. And if you're a shop in this area and you're trying to attract the local college student and or their parents and family, you're going to use lion up. You're going to wear green and gold and post a picture during football season on Friday saying that you're supporting the Lions.
And as a specialist agency, let's change it up a little bit because obviously we're in Hammond, Louisiana, so we would know what Lion Up is.
Yep.
But what's the battle cry of the college in Boise, Idaho? I don't have a clue. And we don't know that unless you as the shop owner tell us. And we have shop owners who are amazing at telling us that stuff. And we have some that don't tell us anything.
Right.
So especially if you are the shop that you don't talk to your marketers, you're going to be better off from a local knowledge standpoint with that local agency.
Well, and even things like weather, you know, snow shoes, snow tires, snow. I do not know anything about that. I have to learn that because I'm in Louisiana and you're in freaking Michigan or Maine or whatever. But here we have hurricanes. You can bet that if we're doing marketing for a shop in the Gulf South, even the East Coast, like, we know when hurricane season is. If you don't have that, you probably didn't even know there was a hurricane season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the road closures, all that stuff, the words like line up.
We're not using go yet, okay? Wait on that. No, we're live. And she's like, hey, we're live. But I'm just telling her live on the air right now that we're not talking about go yet.
There's the things like pop and soda, right?
Yeah,
those things. And then even again, here locally, geographically, the North Shore.
Yeah, right? I mean, most people, if they hear the North Shore, they think about Hawaii, you know, but here locally, the North Shore is, you know, Hammond, Covington, Mandeville, Slidell.
Yeah. So it's stuff like that. The words that you use, the knowledge of your specific area, a specialty agency is not going to know that stuff, but they can if you have a relationship with them. And you're learning that stuff. But as a shop owner, you're not thinking about that. And that's why the general agency is going to win in that case.
Yeah. At the same time, if you're working with the specialist agency who they're not open to learning these things about your area, then you may be working with the wrong one.
Yeah.
You know? So topic number four is overall results. Oh, we got to go back and say topic number three, hands down, the local. I mean, we started off with that.
Yeah, we did.
So they win that one. Topic number four, overall results. Now, This one is a little bit subjective, all right? Because there are some really great generalist agencies out there.
For sure.
And you get with that really great generalist agency, and they may not have the knowledge, but they will go out there and they will get the knowledge, and they will be every bit as good as the specialist agency. But we're talking about, in general, how is that going to be the overall knowledge?
So let me add to this part, because I want to make it clear. Like, we were the most expensive marketing company as a generalist in our area because of the relationship and the time that we invested, the time that we spent. So it, understand that we have the knowledge in the industry as a specialty agency. Your general agency, if you're looking for one who's going to have high touch and really learn your industry, they're probably going to be having to invest more time and spend more time with you. Wouldn't you say? Like,
yeah, I could go either way. I mean, even within the specialist agencies, there's such a range of prices.
Right. But I'm talking about the time investment.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to put a lot of time into it. And if they don't, then there's a problem. You know, but like I was saying, it's a little bit subjective on the overall results. So take this with a grain of salt. But what I'm going to say is, for the most part, like, we know what works for auto repair. We know how to get results for auto repair. And look, that's whether you're talking about us or Lyft or Auto Shop Solutions or Shop Dog Marketing or Leads Near Me or whatever. You know, like, all of these agencies that specialize in auto repair, they know what it takes to get the best results for an auto repair shop. Whereas your generalist agency, they are going to have to go in and learn that. And they have months and months and months of trial and error. And it's trial and error with your dollars.
Yeah. And trial and error is where you're comparing the pattern failures with regards to a car. A technician working on that is figuring that out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. And look, I mean, we just, full transparency, we have a client that we're working with right now that they have a specialty within a specialty. And we are having to go in and figure out, like, how to get their Google Ads to perform the way that they need to.
Yeah.
It's a diesel truck shop that only works on specific diesel trucks. You know, they don't do Ford, Chevy, and Dodge.
Right.
You know, they only do some specific ones. And we're having to really go in there. And, like, there is some trial and error with that. There's no getting around it in some cases. But for the most part, when it comes to overall results, your specialist shop is going to do better. That's across the board. That's from beginning to end. I'm not even talking about just in the very beginning when we had Five Stones Media, which we still do. But before we were specialists and before we were doing business with Shop Marketing Pros, my first client that was like a long-term client, I believe this was the second website that I built, was a air conditioning company called Comfort First Heating and Air. They were friends of ours. The owner of it was in Kim's B&I group in North Carolina when we had our auto repair shop. And because of that, when he opened his own, he was doing sales for another HVAC company. And when he opened his own HVAC company, he needed a website. So he came to us. And that was they were with us for about 10 years, I think a little bit over 10 years, actually. And they ended up leaving us after 10 years to go work with a company who specialized in HVAC. And around that time, they were one of a handful of clients that did that.
So there was another one that, and it's funny because we built such a relationship with them that I started using them.
And still do business with them.
I still do business with them. Whether you're a client or maybe an industry partner or friend or just somebody that I saw and I wanted to send you a gift, I use the Basketry a lot. And that is a local they're in New Orleans, about an hour away.
But they're e-commerce.
And we did a lot of their marketing for a long time, several years. And I became a client of theirs. They were a client of ours. We had this great relationship. But they actually left and went to a specialty agency because we advised them to do that.
We did. Because they were e-commerce and they were really our only e-commerce client, we saw the growth that they were having and we knew that we had maxed out what we could do for them.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to Christy and said, hey, you really should look into an e-commerce specialist. And I don't know if I should say this or not because I'm trying to be completely unbiased in this, but I will say that Most of the time when somebody outside of the automotive industry comes to me and they ask me about marketing, because we still have people that'll come to us who are local, they're looking for somebody to do their marketing, I normally recommend that they find a specialist.
Yeah. Well, you just did that yesterday for somebody who was looking for a coach.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, you need to find a coach within your industry. And without going down a whole other rabbit trail, is that it still blows my mind how many businesses are successful, but they think they're really successful, but they're not involved in their industry. Like, they could be doing so much more if they just got plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. But the basketry, I didn't finish saying this, is if you're a current client or an industry partner, friend in the industry, whatever, you've ever gotten a gift from us, 6 out of 10 times, it was probably from the basketry. But so we recommended that they leave us because it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing. I think you have one more story you want to share.
Yeah, I've got
kind of pulling all this together, kind of relevant in what that looks like.
Yeah, and this is to show you both sides of this. So before we were automotive specialist, I had a company that I worked with that they did roll-off dumpster rentals. And this was a franchise. So there were these franchises all over the United States, and this person had bought into the franchise. And they were actually a business partner of mine in another venture. And they came to me and said, hey, I want you to help with some of the marketing. But the franchise requires that you work with their marketers. So we started looking at some things, and the way that they would set these things up every time they sold a franchise is they would try to get the domain name that was whatever city they were in, dumpsterrental.com. So in this case, it was NewOrleansDumpsterRental.com. Well, there was another big company, big dumpster rental company, that had NewOrleansDumpsterRentals.com. And we started looking at that. And we knew that when they're driving down the road and their dumpster had NewOrleansDumpsterRental.com on the side of it, that people might mix that up when they went to type it in and type in New Orleans Dumpster Rentals. And it worked both ways, you know, so the other people were losing some business to my client as well. But the problem came in when we were running Google ads, and it came in with both the phone number and the domain name. And that is because he had an area that covered New Orleans and Covington and Baton Rouge. And if you know anything about the geography in our area, you've got New Orleans, you've got a lake just north of New Orleans called Lake Pontchartrain. It's a huge lake with a 24-mile bridge that goes across it to the North Shore that we were just talking about. And on the North Shore, you have Covington. And then all the way on the west side of the lake and a good bit past the edge of the lake, you've got Baton Rouge. So he had these three areas. But the thing is if you're in Baton Rouge, you're not renting a dumpster from a company that is NewOrleansDumpsterRental.com. You think it's too far away. It's going to cost me too much money to have it hauled over here. Same thing with Covington. You know, I'm not paying them to bring the thing across the bridge or whatever. And those three areas have three different area codes for phone numbers. They had a 985, a 225, and a 504 area code. So if you're in Baton Rouge with a 225 in the 225 area code and you see a number for 504, you know that's New Orleans.
Right.
Or you see a number for 985, you know that's the North Shore. So you're not going to do business with them. And I started doing some searching, and I found that godumpsters.com was available. And when I say Go Dumpsters, I'm not talking about G-O Dumpsters. I'm talking about G-E-A-U-X.
The Louisiana Go.
So that is the battle cry for LSU, would be Go Tigers. But it's specifically G-E-A-U-X. You don't say it any different, but if you spell it out,
and go Lions.
The stickers that's on the back window of your truck, your t-shirts that you're wearing, everything says G-E-A-U-X. And everybody in Louisiana knows what the heck G-E-A-U-X is. But this franchise, they're located in Canada.
Didn't have a clue.
They didn't have, their marketing company didn't have a clue.
Even though they're
what
French.
G-E-A-U-X was. So French. When we went to them and told them what we wanted to do, they laughed. They were like, you're crazy. What is that? That's, why would we do that? Well, we did it. The other thing that we did was we got phone numbers for each area code, set up three different landing pages, and set up three different sets of ads.
Yeah.
So in Baton Rouge, they were running to a landing page with a 225. New Orleans was a 504. North Shore was a 985. And when we did that, we saw our conversion rate go through the roof. I'm talking about we probably 5X'd what the conversions that they were getting before this. And it was only because of that local knowledge that we had. However, the other company was better at marketing dumpster rentals. Like overall,
Yeah.
We came in and we helped them with something major. We Local fixed knowledge. A big problem that they had.
Yep.
But overall, they knew how to market dumpster rentals. Mm-hmm. So that story is just to show you both sides of the equation here. Yep. And you could be in a very similar situation. I got one of our shop owners that's a great friend of mine. He's got a shop in Nebraska and he just moved to Iowa. And I heard he moved to Iowa and I'm like, whoa, what in the world is he moving his shop? But then I realize that he's just across the border. He has the same drive that he did before, the length of time it takes him to drive. Even though his shop's in Nebraska and his old house was in Nebraska, his new house is in Iowa, but it takes him no longer to drive
right. Well,
to his shop.
Thanks for updating me on that, because apparently you got the whole story because I've been freaked out wondering. And, but you know what? I also get the eyes mixed up. Iowa, the Idaho.
All you have to do is go look at the map. And when you look at the map, it's like, oh, okay. You know, but there again, that local knowledge. You only know these things if you're from that area.
Oh,
so anyway, you got any last words?
No, that's just the recap of helping you with the comparison of, do I use a generalist shop? Do I use a specialty shop? This might be one to bookmark because you may come back and want to listen to this.
There is no wrong answer. You just got to figure out for yourself which one you want.
It's been a minute since I've invited people to our Facebook group because I didn't do it last time. And I'm not sure that I did the time before that because I think we did our 100th episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very proud of our Facebook group. We've been working on this thing for years. It is so active and there's so much good stuff happening in there. The Auto Repair Marketing Mastermind. Go look for that on Facebook. Join the group.
There's a link in the show notes too.
Link in the show notes. Answer my questions because I'm very mama bear about who I let into this group. We are not selling in there. This is all shop owners talking marketing for auto repair shops. So go look it up, Auto Repair Marketing Mastermind on Facebook.
All right. Well, we are only one of a handful of podcasts on Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find them all at aftermarketradionetwork.com. We appreciate you listening. I want to thank our sponsors, RepairPal, again for providing this episode. We could not do it without them. We hope that you'll listen in again next week. And until then, go fill those bays.
You've been listening to the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Kim and Brian Walker. Follow the podcast on your favorite listening app. Find their emails in the show notes and visit them at shopmarketingpros.com. Let Kim and Brian know what you want discussed because they're all about advancing the aftermarket.